Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin with the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. How are you doing, Chip?
Doing great. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing just fine.
Can't believe we're winding down July already.
I know. We're heading into the dog days of August. Summer's, you know, going to be ending before we know it.
But it's still here.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to toss this over to you. What have we got for this week?
Well, actually, we just talked a little bit of positivity about summer still being here for another month rather than we've already got 1 month gone. And there's a book out there by an author named Jeffrey Gitomer that's called The Little Gold Book of the Yes Attitude. And what the book is all about, it says every business winner has one thing in common: a yes attitude that's powerful enough to help them achieve the impossible. When you got that yes attitude, you assume that everything will start with a yes, and then you'll find a way to get to a yes, even when the first, second, and third answer that you hear is no. So what this is all about is developing and maintaining a positive attitude. And there's different tools in there. There's 7.5 things that you can do to maintain a positive intensity and drive. There's other ways to overcome dangerous attitude busters. What we're going to talk about today is there's actually a list in that book of 20.5, yes, there's 20.5, attitude snacks to chew on. And what these are one-line tips that really could be worth thousands of dollars if you just take on a couple of them. So we have the list right in front of us. If you are looking to get a copy of this when we're done and you tell them how to get a hold of us, I'm happy to share this list with other people. So tip number one is change your input to change your attitude. If you seek a positive mind and a positive attitude, you must expose yourself to positive information and hang around with positive people. If you want to achieve positive, surround yourself with positive people. Obviously, one of the biggest mistakes that we make in life and in business is hanging around negative people, people who just keep bringing up obstacles and why things can't happen. And what this is all about is looking for the positive side of things to begin with.
Yes, and so many of us have, even if it's not people, we're surrounded by a bombardment of negative information and negative happenings. And it really is important to have this core group of people that support each other and promote this positive attitude. It becomes so difficult to hold on to it without having that reinforcement. So you really do need to find people who have a positive attitude and surround yourself by them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about the law of attraction all the time, and you have to surround yourself with positivity. And playing right off of that, a lot of times we are our own worst enemies. And number two is a Zig Ziglar quote. It says, you were born to win, but you must plan to win, prepare to win, and most importantly, expect to win. Because a lot of people say, oh, I don't think this can happen, and so on and so forth. And if you put that positive spin on it, knowing that you were born to win, just go out and get it. It's so important.
Yeah, you have to assume that the best is going to happen. Especially right now, I am absolutely aggravated by what I have seen coming out of coaches over the last week. Because for those of you who know anything about astronomy, this is the time of year where Earth's orbit around the sun is actually faster than Mercury's orbit around the sun. So it looks like Mercury is going backwards. They call that Mercury in retrograde. And all sorts of people are coming out of the woodwork. Oh, nothing good is going to happen now because Mercury is in retrograde. Absolutely nothing has changed with Mercury. It's the same. It's not going to have an effect on you. And when coaches start blaming this, it's ridiculous. You have to assume that what you are doing is going to succeed. But you can't then go, oh, well, it's up to the universe. You have to plan. You have to act. You have to prepare for that eventuality. And that's what causes you to succeed. It's not some random occurrence.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important that you just focus on what the positive side of things are. And your self-talk has got to be very, very important. There's a lot of different quotes in here from athletes and coaches and so on and so forth. And, you know, the next one here is from Vince Lombardi. The will to win is nothing without the will to prepare to win. And obviously, part of preparing to win is looking for the positive things in what's going on around you rather than looking up front at what possibly might happen to make things go wrong.
All right. And Vince Lombardi is actually the perfect example. And I use him quite often when I'm talking to people about what coaches do. Because Vince Lombardi didn't go into the locker room and go, okay, I want everybody to feel that they're going to win. Vince Lombardi had a plan, and they worked at the plan. And he drilled those plans into the team. And that's how they won. They didn't just go, okay, we're going to believe we're going to win and go. So, you know, as Zig Ziglar was saying, you must plan to win. And Vince Lombardi said, you have to prepare to win. And it's so important. There are so many people now going, well, I'm going to, you know, put my will out into the universe and what I want is going to happen. Well, no. As we talked about a few weeks ago when we discussed the science of getting rich, you actually have to take action to make these things happen. It doesn't simply appear in front of you. And Vince Lombardi is a perfect example of working on that plan, but having that positive attitude that your plan will work.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually, the next tip here, it really talks about doing things yourself as far as helping people out. But what we're talking about here when we're talking about football and coaching is teamwork. And this phrase goes as follows. It says, you'll get whatever you want if you help enough people get whatever they want. Obviously, doing it individually is fantastic. But when you are on a team, like a football team or baseball or whatever, there's going to be some people who supposedly are more talented than others, and yet every single piece of the puzzle has to work together. So if you're playing football and you're the offensive line, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles last year, who were underdogs in every single playoff game, and they won the Super Bowl pretty handily. And it's because the offensive line really worked together to figure out everything that was going on. And it's not that they were strong or whatever, but they had the schemes down and they blocked absolutely perfectly and ran circles around the New England Patriots. So it's doing whatever you can to make the whole situation better, whether it's helping somebody out individually or working as a team.
All right. And by working as a team, you end up with a situation where the total is more than the sum of its parts. When everybody is working towards a single goal and working to help all of their teammates or working to help others in general, you see that momentum build. And it's important to balance that. I remember if you've ever seen the movie The Untouchables, Robert De Niro has a monologue in that movie where he's talking about baseball. And he says, when you're up at the plate, it's time for individual achievement. And when you're in the field, you have to be part of a team. And you have to remember that no matter how good you do as an individual, if the team doesn't win, then you don't get anything. And you have to put the team first.
Absolutely. It's so important to be working together on that. And part of this, a lot of it comes down to you're talking about the person at the plate and then the team. Self-talk equals self-performance. If you look at athletes, self-talk is a crucial part of the expected positive performance. So if you're at the plate, obviously you got to think positive things, saying I'm going to be patient and wait for the proper pitch. But if you're in the field, it's really thinking about what the hitter normally does. It's where the rest of the team is and that kind of thing. So it's really, really important to psych yourself up for every single situation that you're in. Self-talk.
Absolutely. And especially, talking about baseball. If you've played the game, you know chatter is a big part of playing baseball, where you're cheering on your teammates, you're taunting the opposing team, It's about getting into people's heads. And that self-talk is about not letting anybody else get into your head, knowing what you can do, what you're capable of, and pushing yourself to achieve that and more.
Absolutely. A lot of people think baseball is boring, but the game within the game is what makes it so interesting. And if you follow it a bit, it's just so amazing in that you are a superstar, multi-millionaire, if you can hit the ball one out of every 2.5 times or 3 times. If you bat 300, you're a superstar, which means you failed 7 times, but you're still going up there with a positive attitude that the next one you're going to get.
Exactly.
So another tip that I love here, make every day as productive as the day before you go on vacation. That's the day that everything gets done. So, you know, I look at this as if I'm thinking of procrastinating this and that and whatever, this is a really great tool to use. And if you can get into a habit to put that sense of urgency into every day's productivity, it's really, really so important. I know that you work on this a lot with, you know, your business and the different things that you do there. So this is a really, really cool tip. Just kind of say, okay, I'm going on vacation tomorrow and work like you're going on vacation.
Yeah, we work on this quite a lot with our system. And when you think about it, it's not even just about getting things done. Think about when, if you're working in an office, what you do before you go on vacation. You make sure all that work is done. You make sure your desk is organized. You make sure that if there's anything outstanding, there's somebody there to take care of it, or they know how to get a hold of you just in case. So you're putting contingency plans into place. Because the whole goal is you don't want to hear from anybody for a week. You want everything to run smoothly. And that's about putting processes in place and getting everything organized and being productive. The day before you go on vacation, you tend to do more than any other day of work because you are preparing for an entire week of not having your hands on things. Now, even if you don't do this every day, if you do this every Friday, which is what we talk about in our coaching programs, treat every Friday as though you're about to go on vacation. This way, Monday morning, you come back in, you're ready to go. The productivity boost you get from this is tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last thing you want to do is leave worrying about things that you haven't gotten done, worrying about people getting on your case when you get back because they had to cover for you and that kind of thing.
Exactly. So you really want to have all your ducks in a row, and that's when we all really step it up and make sure, because we're going on vacation. We don't want to have to deal with work. But if you do that on a regular basis, your productivity is kicked up so far, everything becomes easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one tip here that kind of, if you use this as kind of like a mantra that will help you out with this, is don't dwell on or whine about the problem. Concentrate on the solution. Resolve how you can and don't lament why you can't. Because the bottom line is, I think a lot of the problems with procrastination is it's just over and over and over again thinking about the possible negatives and why it can't happen. Whereas if you just put your mind on solving the problem, number one, it's going to get done. And number two, you're going to get a whole lot more things done because it goes real fast.
Certainly. There's a Japanese saying, fix the problem, not the blame. We tend to focus so much on, well, what went wrong? What can go wrong? Why did, you know, whose fault is it that it went wrong? It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Fix the problem. When something has gone wrong, take the time, fix it, and prepare yourself so that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you do have the problems and so on and so forth, instead of hanging on to it, a really, really great tip, forgive and go forward. It says grudge blocks the positive, and until you can clear the past, which you can't do anything about, you're destined to repeat it. So it's a really, really unbelievably positive trait to be able to forgive. It's tough to do, but the more you practice it, the easier it is to do it. Because the bottom line is, when we're talking about business or anything else, we're talking about using everybody's talents. And the best way to get the best out of people and have them use their talents is to compliment that rather than say, you messed up here. Just forgive them, move ahead, and emphasize the positive.
Yes, and what most people don't seem to understand is that holding a grudge, the only person you're hurting is you. The person you're holding the grudge against doesn't care. In many cases, doesn't even know you're holding the grudge. But there's an old saying, holding a grudge is like letting somebody live rent-free in your head. It bothers you. It's giving you stress. But it's not affecting the person you're angry at. So when you forgive them, you're actually giving yourself a break.
Yeah, and a lot of it comes from not thinking the best of yourself, which is one of the reasons that you hold grudges on with other people. And one of the best tips that you can have, and we talk about this all the time, is working on yourself. What is the picture you have of yourself? This is what you become. And the bottom line is, if you think negative all the time, you're going to become negative. And the tip here is just spend 15 minutes a day focusing on a positive picture. Do 15 minutes of positive meditation or take a walk or whatever. Take a look at your gratitude journal, your victory log. But the bottom line is, everybody has a whole lot of positive things going for them. And if you can put that into your life every day and have that positive picture of yourself, a lot of these negative things that we're talking about just aren't going to happen because you're focused on avoiding it in the first place.
And that goes back to what we were talking about self-talk equaling self-performance. It's that self-talk, you're building yourself up. So you don't have to hold a grudge. You don't have to blame somebody because you know what you're capable of and you know you're performing as best you can. And that's really all anybody can ask. Nobody is perfect, and you shouldn't even try to be. Just do the best you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this one. I mean, I've heard this since I was a little kid. Mom always used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. And I'm bringing it up right now because we're talking about it right after we're talking about ourselves. And the bottom line is if you don't have anything nice to say about yourself, say it too. Build that positive picture for yourself. So it's obviously you don't want to be criticizing and dumping on other people, but chances are we're dumping on ourselves more than we are on anybody else. So keep that in mind for yourselves. Look for positive things to say about yourself.
Right. And, you know, not saying any, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's also about putting forth that positive image. You know, it's about being positive about others, about yourself. Although if you spend any time in the south of the United States, there the saying's a little different. There they say, if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit by me.
And that's good.
I mean, I find that hysterical, but even then, the idea is, well, if you don't have anything nice to say, well, let's build a camaraderie. Let's, we're creating something good from it because we're creating a bond. We're creating a friendship. You have to spin when there's negative. So, yeah, if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, unless you're being constructive, then pointing something out about someone isn't helping anybody. Are you trying to make them feel bad for the sake of making yourself feel better? Well, if you've got a positive image of yourself, you don't need to do that.
Yep. And if we want to go back to one of the points that we talked about earlier, you will get whatever you want if you help enough people get whatever they want. Obviously, a positive approach and picking out what they're doing great in their talents is so, so important. Anything negative that you say is totally counterproductive to that one.
Oh, certainly. You're not helping other people if you're just bad-mouthing them.
Yep.
I mean, and again, this is different from offering constructive criticism. offering constructive criticism is helping somebody. Just bad-mouthing them or, you know, picking on something they did without trying to help them get over the fact that they did it or improve themselves, there's no point to that.
Yeah, it's all in the approach. And I mean, we've talked about how to win friends and influence people. We talk about this a lot.
We certainly do, because it really is a cornerstone to how you relate to people.
So the next one, you will hear the word no 116,000 times in your lifetime, maybe more. Try converting to just 1,000 of them. Try converting just 1,000 of them to yes. And the world is your oyster. And the bottom line is, failure is an event. It's not a person. And if you just move on, you're just one step closer to a success. So don't take it personally. It's going to happen. And just take that positive approach, and you're just one step closer to a yes.
Right. I think that 116,000 is probably severely underestimating the number of times you'll hear the word no. But this really goes back to what we were talking about baseball, where, you know, if you can hit the ball 3 times out of 10, you're a Hall of Famer.
And a multi-millionaire.
Yes. You know, you don't have to hit 10 out of 10. If you hit 3 out of 10, you are doing fantastic. And the fact of the matter is, every home run hitter strikes out more than they hit home runs. Every quarterback throws more incompletes than they do touchdowns. You can't expect yourself to succeed every time you try something. You can't expect to get a yes every time you ask something. All you need to do is get that yes part of the time, and you will be amazed at how much you can grow from there.
Absolutely. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. Does that sound familiar?
It certainly does.
When you're in sports or anything else and so on and so forth, you're going to be able to do better the next time around. So we talk a lot about event plus response equals outcome. You got to respond positively.
Absolutely. You have the control over how you respond, and that's what shapes the experience.
So, and going to the next one, every obstacle presents an opportunity if you're looking for it. You know, we love playing with wordplay, going from obstacle to opportunity, going from challenge to opportunities and that kind of thing too. So if you can just turn things around 100%, you can do that with any negative word that's out there. So change those obstacles to opportunities and just look at them that way.
And that really is the core of having the positive attitude. When you have the positive attitude, you're looking at something as a challenge, not a problem. You're looking at things as, yes, you assume you can overcome this, you just have to figure out how. When you have that negative mindset, every obstacle becomes unfathomable. You can't get past it. It's like, oh, that's it. I give up. I failed. You only fail when you stop trying. And part of having that positive attitude is really understanding that, yes, you can get past this, you can succeed doing this. It may not be on your first try, it may not be on your second try, but as long as you keep working at it, you'll get there.
Yeah, and along the lines, the next one says, hard work makes luck. And it certainly does, but I'm going to add to that that smart work makes luck. We talk a lot about personal development and what we're talking about today. And just doing things for the sake of doing things. We've talked a lot about planning, positive input on things, teamwork, and that kind of thing. So hard, smart work is going to make luck. And it's really not luck. It's just going to be the result.
Yes, I think it was Ben Franklin who had a quote, luck is preparation meeting opportunity. And that's really what it is. Luck is how you look at something. If you are prepared when something comes along, you're lucky. Because look what just happened. This opportunity came up and you can take advantage of it. Well, that same opportunity could come up if you're not prepared for it, but you can't do anything about it. So it's that preparation that really creates your own luck. And again, it goes back to Vince Lombardi. You have to be prepare to win. When you prepare, you build your own luck.
Absolutely. And the next one talks about how many of your problems are cured with 10 grand. And this was the author saying a question, a famous father, and he puts in parentheses, his dad once asked him as he lamented his problems. And then he followed up saying, if money makes problems go away, attitude can make them go away as well. And attitude, as far as I'm concerned, is the key to everything.
Right. Money is a resource, but it's not the only resource. So yes, there are certain things that are much easier to get when you have the money for them. But you can also get them through hard work, through positive attitude. Generally, there's sort of an informal formula that, you know, the more money you throw at something, the less effort you have to throw at it. But conversely, if you can't throw money at a problem, if you can't simply buy something new, you can put that effort towards it. Put an effort towards fixing something. Put an effort towards earning more money. Put that effort to earning what you're trying to do.
The satisfaction with money, it's a fleeting satisfaction, because once you have that, you're just going to be looking for more. So, but if you have your attitude towards thing is always positive, that's going to be paying you off over and over and over again. And one of the things when you're looking to achieve things is going back and ignoring people who tell you you can't. And then again, pretty funnily, he puts in the parenthesis, except your boss. But people will try to discourage you for and fear that you'll pass them up and so on and so forth. The bottom line is, when people are on your case about different things, they're only masking something that's going wrong with their own lives. So you have to let it go in one ear and out the other.
And that's so true. I mean, we've talked about communications in the past, and your words are only a small part of what you're communicating. There's body language, there's tone, volume. All of these things go into how something is understood. And it's one of the reasons there are so many misunderstandings through email, because the words can be taken with any tone depending on the recipient. So you do have to pay attention to all of the aspects of communications and what you're really trying to get across.
Yeah. As the next point says, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. The tone of your delivery is going to determine the atmosphere of the environment. It's going to determine how things are going to turn out. Because the bottom line is, people don't like being preached to. People like being valued first. So the delivery is so important. So it's how you say it.
Absolutely. It's exactly what I just said. You've got all of these different methods of communication. You have to make sure the message that you want to send is actually the one you're sending. So we're coming up on the end of our time. So really quick, let's go to this 20.5.
Yeah, you always ask, what do we take out of today's conversation? And the 20.5, I mean, this is, you're meant to have fun with this book, but number 20.5 says, resign your position as general manager of the universe. Don't try to solve another butt into other people's problems until you are problem free. And what all of these points that we are talking about is working towards getting yourself problem free. And it's never going to happen. So resign your position as general manager of the universe. I love that comment.
That really is the takeaway, although I wonder why he decided that it was only half a point when it's really so important that it encompasses all of his other points.
gonna have to research that one and get back to you.
Yeah.
But you know, throughout the book, he talks about 7.5 things that you can do and 10.5. So I think he likes to put that decimal point in there for the half, just for effect.
So. Right. You know, it's his equivalent of when Steve Jobs would introduce, oh, one more thing.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, it's a great book. Jeff Kinnamer is actually best known for his sales books. If you want to take a look, absolutely check out what he's writing. You can learn quite a lot. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, and wherever you find podcasts. If you'd like to get a hold of the Modern Observer Group or Happiness and Success GPS, you can go to modernobserver.com, click on the contact button, and you will be in touch with us. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.